Father God, we want to now come to you and say, show us our lives and the things that we need to do to change. Speak to us from Scripture and inspire us to live our lives differently. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the third of a series of talks about Christians and the workplace. And tonight is looking at work-life balance, about how do we get work and life in harmony. Work-life balance is an issue that we all have impact on our lives. How do we do it? How do we balance our lives? How do we fit in all the conflicting demands that we have? It's become a bit of a buzzword, but it has some real truth behind it. I like this quote that I found, which sums up what the problem can become if we're not too careful. Being too busy, which can seem necessary and unavoidable, can become a habit so entrenched that it leads you to postpone or cut short what really matters to you, making you a slave to a lifestyle you don't like, but you can't escape. And that's one of the big problems with work-life balance. That is the truth of it. We become ensnared in a lifestyle that we feel powerless to get out of. It's as much for Christians as it is for people who are not Christians. Because actually, often we throw out our time with God to fit in all the other bits of our life and help them balance. And then we feel guilty that we don't spend enough time doing the things that we need to do. Spending time with God, spending time with our family, spending time at church, spending time at work. So how do we spend our time? Well, this is a chart I've used in previous weeks about how long we spend at work. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we've talked about it before, but we all have 168 hours a week, and we sleep on average 56 hours a week. However, what that means is, based on this chart, that a large number of us spend over 40% of our waking hours at work. That doesn't include commuting. There's a large amount of time we spend actually doing things, being at work, commuting, being busy. But how do we get the balance between life and work? And actually, if we're not careful, it gets out of balance. I want to demonstrate what balance looks like or doesn't look like in more of the case. I want you to imagine that this pot is our lives, okay? And that's our life. And we've only got so much we can fit into our lives. And we've all got bits and pieces of work to do. Lots of things that get in the way. And actually, this is the sand, really. So these are just things that we do every day. And every day we do things, and things just crop up, and we get busier and busier and busier. But the problem is, then really important things come up, like family and work, and then God, and then other things happen. You know, somebody get a phone call or something difficult happens at work, and then just it all falls to pieces. So that's what work-life balance can look like for a lot of us. A bunch of sand, a bunch of stones, and it all gets a bit busy. And actually, we don't fit in, because if you notice, this is running proud of the jar. I'll come back to that model a bit later on. But that's what life can look like if we don't get work-life balance. So how do we do it? How do we get balance? What do we need to do to get balance? Well, the passage in Luke 20 gives us, I think, a structure about work-life balance. If you've got it, then it'd be great if you could open that. The question by the authorities that Jesus was given about Roman taxes is another opportunity for the authorities to try and discredit Jesus. But this one rebounded badly on the questioner. They wanted him to do one of two things: either to agree that paying tribute was right, and if so, he would be a traitor to the patriotic Jews, or he would condemn it and say you shouldn't, and then he would be a traitor to the occupying forces, the Romans. Basically, it's a win-win for Jesus' enemies. But the answer Jesus gave evaded their trap. He established a principle of the Christian attitude to the state and exposed another problem about how people live their Christian lives. The Jews' assumption was that you were either loyal to the Jewish faith or loyal to the Roman state. You couldn't be both. It was a very narrow view. But Jesus' reply says that we must. Verse 25. Then give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's. Jesus' kind of religion was one that embraced the whole of life, the secular as well as the sacred, and had something to say about every part of our lives. He rejected, in this passage, religious religion that divided it into a series of watertight compartments and confines, like Sunday and church and meeting with other Christians, where the whole of the outside world was unrelated to these things. Jesus spoke against that in this passage and says that one area belongs to God and one area belongs to Jesus. But actually, there is no conflict because they flow into each other. Jesus said, the way that I see them is not the way you see them. We must learn to live in both of these areas and relate them to each other. And realize, indeed, that the true faith in God spills over into Caesar's area, into our life. Compartmentalization of our lives must go. As he falls off the back of it. It'll be very spectacular. This is helpful and very challenging to us because we tend to compartmentalize our life. I did for many years. I was able to compartmentalize my life as a Christian and my life outside of being a Christian. In fact, I even had a different name. I was Rob at work, and I was Bob at church. That's how we know if somebody's known me for a very long time, because it depends on what they call me. And there are other things people call me anyway, but that's an aside. But what it is there was this compartmentalization that I did until God one day challenged me and said, that really has to go, because it enabled me to live two completely separate lives. They didn't really interact. And this passage is saying that actually they need to interact. The compartmentalization of our life needs to go. And if we compartmentalize our life, we don't really get the balance that we need between God, work, and home. Because we tend to focus on what's in front of us and end up in robbing Peter to pay Paul. We spend too much time at work, which puts us at conflict at home. And then when we're home, we spend too much time out at meetings. Or is it just me? We work on our commute, or we get up early and go in when it's quieter, which means we don't ever have a quiet time. Instead of starting the day with God, we start the day with Starbucks and a spreadsheet. That's not work-life balance, because that's separating our lives between the life that God can impact and the life outside of that. We need to stop putting our lives into boxes, and we must see there must be balance in what we give to the world and what we give to God. Andrew always quotes Mark Ashton in a particular way, and I actually think it's really helpful. And what he says, and you've heard it before, is the best thing for our children is to have a good relationship with our wives. And the best thing for our wives is to have a good relationship with Jesus. And I think this we can apply to work and say that actually the best thing for our work is to have a good relationship with our partners. And the best thing for our what that means is that we don't go to work in order to get away from them. Because work then becomes an escape. And then the best thing for our partners is our relationship with Jesus. So ultimately, making our relationship with Jesus a priority is critical to us being effective at work and getting good work-life balance. So how do we get work-life balance practically? Well, here's a few ideas. It said in the passage, give to God what is God and give to the emperor what is the emperor's. Merging the days together, merging those boxes together. So the first thing is start and finish the day focused on God. Give to God what is God. And give to God the first fruits, the first thing of the morning. It doesn't mean you have to get up particularly early, but we need to make sure that we make time for God. And if we start the day focused on God, reading and sort of reading your Bible, if you commute, listen to your Bible if you haven't got a chance to read it. So if you drive and commute, listen to it. It's better than Radio 4's Thought for the Day, I guarantee. Pray and read your Bible and give your day, your work day, to God. Instead of trying to just get up and just stagger into the day, give to God what is God, give to emperor what is the emperor's. And see your work, your whole work, as a mission field. That God wants to be intimately involved in your day. Pray for opportunities that you have to talk about Jesus. Pray about decisions that you've got to make, particularly if they're difficult. Not that God would inspire you to make those decisions, but actually God would be in those decisions. So the first thing is start and finish the day focused on God. No matter what we do, whether we're at home or whether we're at work, get the balance right. Put God in the place he should be. Give to God what is God's. Second thing is proactively manage our time. We do need to get much more control over our time. How much time we spend at work. How much what we do when we're there, when we leave work. Give to the emperor what is the emperor's. The emperor demanded a particular tax. We give them the tax. We give them what we're contracted to do. And maybe a bit more. But that shouldn't mean that we live at work. We have to get that balance. And it may involve us having to say no. By leaving on time. Shock horror. By actually balancing our day and thinking, well, how much time have I got today? Not what have I got to do today, and therefore how long is that day going to be? Sometimes that is a reality. But quite often we have to say, actually, that could be every day of my working life. If you were going to carry on working until you ran out of work to do, you probably wouldn't come home. Yeah? Because your employers would just keep going and going and going. But give to Caesar, give to the emperor what is the emperor's. And the emperor says, I want this as a tax. This is what I want from you. So give him that. But know where your boundaries are. How much time do we spend with our families? Do we prioritize that? With our other halves? How much time do we give to church? How much time do we spend doing other things? We need to get control. We need to balance our life. One of the big things, as you, a lot of you know, I run management courses for a living, and one of my favourite writers is now on this sort of thing. Is now dead. It was Sir John Harvey Jones, who was head of ICI for many years, and he always said, "Never, ever, not take your holiday." And that is an adage I've lived my life by. Okay? Never, never not take your holiday. Because he said that actually it makes us ineffective. Get a balance. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. So, start and finish the day focused on God. Practically manage your time. Let work be work and home be home. And this is where the world of God and the world of Caesar now collide. Because actually, do we take work home with us? And some of us, and I've worked from home for the last 20 years, and still a challenge, so it's not the fact that actually it's a physical thing, because it's a mental thing, actually. Working from home is a mental thing. So what we need to do is to make sure that we don't take work home with us too often. Or even the worst concept is, my favourite one is the take your work for a walk. So what you do is you take your bag and you put all the stuff in it you know you've got to do. And you take it home and you put it down. The next day you pick it up and you take it back to work again. And we do that constantly. You haven't looked at your work, but you've taken it for a walk. But you've mentally not let go of it. The world, Caesar, is impacting upon giving to God what is God's. It affects us. Doesn't mean we sometimes don't do it, but we have to bound it. If we work from home, we need to develop boundaries. We have to know when our days off are. One of the big things that, you know, I've worked from home for 20 years, and one of the big things I've always done is try not to do any work on a day which is my day off. That includes email. And that's the big problem nowadays, because we're in a world where actually your BlackBerry or your smartphone goes off constantly. And so you actually find yourself doing a huge amount of work when you're at home. It doesn't feel like work because it's your phone. And we say things like, well, I need to sort them out because it makes my day much easier when I get to work. Yeah, fine. However, is that the balance you want? Sitting at home with the person who you're at home with, your family, and sitting, it's bad enough, actually, I've got three teenage daughters, it's bad enough sitting in a room with them currently. We're all watching the telly together, and only two of us are actually watching the telly, and three of them are down doing this. So you do wonder why it is. Then you go and turn off and say, but we were watching that. I'm not quite sure how, but anyway, that's one of those things. But we do the same. We actually are, our mobile phones are a problem. Don't use to turn them off. Make your time off your time off. That's one thing I've always tried to do, is not to let the home and work collide too much. Get boundaries. And the fourth thing is, look after yourself. This doesn't really come from the passage, but actually, I think it comes, it's key, because it's about here looking after yourself physically, emotionally, and particularly spiritually. Because if we don't get a work-life balance, we can drift. We can drift. So what happens is we are so busy doing all the work things, and then we're at home, so busy doing all the home things, that what actually misses out is the God things. And before we know it, we've not read the Bible for ourselves for days or weeks. You don't remember when you last had time to pray. You don't remember the last time you walked anywhere. You don't remember the last time that you talked to somebody about some of the problems and hang-ups that you've got. We need to look after ourselves. I think one of the really helpful guidances is in Matthew chapter 6. It should come on the screen. Matthew 6 says this, therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For it's Gentiles who strive for all these things. But indeed your heavenly Father knows what you need in all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So in our lives and our works, we need to first seek God's kingdom in our lives. Seek God in our lives first. Don't drift. Don't become so focused on work that God and Jesus take second place. Yes, we do need to honor our employer. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But we also need to balance that with give to God what is God. Seek God's kingdom in what we do. Keep yourself a constant check of how am I doing spiritually, particularly when you're busy. And just because if you work for a Christian organization or a church, it doesn't mean you're exempt. Because the big question there is, when was the last time you read the Bible for you and not to prepare a sermon, a Bible study, or lead a Bible study? When was the last time you prayed for people for yourself without having to lead prayers, be involved in a prayer meeting, or lead prayers at church? We need to seek God's kingdom in our lives. We need to rebalance. Let me go back to my exercise. We need to rebalance. So we need to rethink how we approach our lives. So all of the things which we just get sucked into doing should come second. The important things in our lives, the big things, God, our family, our work, they go in first. We've then got time for other things that we do, other really important things, but they're critical as well. Then all the other stuff can just fill up the gaps. And now we have a life that's balanced. Because we've reordered our priorities. Seek first God's kingdom, and everything else shall be added to you. The quote I started with is just I want to leave us with, just because I don't want us to become slaves to a lifestyle that we feel that we can't escape. The Bible tells us that we need to seek God's kingdom. We need to give our lives and our work and our balance to serving Christ. Let's do that, and let's be free and not be slaves. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the way you teach us in Scripture about what our priorities in our life should be, about being focused on God in our lives and not compartmentalizing him on Sundays or other days of the week, but actually our whole life. Help us to get our work-life balance in order, that we give to God what is God and we give to man what is man's. But in our whole lives, help us to seek for God's kingdom in everything we do. In the name of Christ, amen.